A jury has awarded a Miami hotel dishwasher $21 million, finding that her employer violated her religious rights by repeatedly scheduling her to work on Sunday.
The European Court of Justice has allowed employers to ban their female workers from wearing religious headscarves and veils.
Tabled legislation today to ban public service workers from wearing religious symbols on the job.
Faith is usually expressed in houses of worship or in private. But is there also a place for religion in a corporate office or on a factory floor?
This is Global Affairs Today. Let's start the conversation. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm your host, Imani Cherry. And today, we're talking about faith on the job. When we leave home, go to work, we don't leave our religious convictions and beliefs behind. So how far must our employer go in accommodating the religious practices of its employees? Can someone be fired for taking time off for prayer or to attend church? And does protecting religious freedom at work help or harm a company's financial bottom line? To start off our discussion today, let's take a look at the story of someone for whom these questions had deep personal significance.
My name is Daryl Patterson, and I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm a father of three. I enjoy working with people and serving others, and I am faithful to my God.
As a Seventh-day Adventist, Daryl believes in keeping the Sabbath, dedicating one day, Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, to God. For him, this means not working during this time.
God says, this is what I would have you to do, to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh day. I was employed with Walgreens from 2005 until 2011. Walgreens knew from the very beginning that I was a practicing Seventh-day Adventist. During the interviewing process, I specifically asked if it would be a problem. And I explained that I didn't work Friday sunset to Saturday sunsets. And they advised me that it wouldn't, and I was hired.
People of diverse faiths have kept the Sabbath since before our nation's founding, and many still do. Our Constitution and civil rights laws protect Sabbath worshipers from discrimination. For 6 years, Daryl was able to do his job and observe Sabbath every Saturday. But then Walgreens fired Daryl for refusing to break his Sabbath to run a 30-minute training session on a Saturday. But other employees kept their jobs after missing similar shifts for non-religious reasons.
The events leading up to that day, the suspension and then eventually the termination, coming home and having to say, honey, I'm home, and by the way, I just lost my job.
So I'm delighted to be joined now by Mr. Daryl Patterson, whose experience sparked a legal struggle that went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. Welcome to the program, Mr. Patterson. How are you doing?
Good morning, Imani. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with this personal question. Tell us what that moment was like when you had to tell your wife, I lost my job because of the Sabbath.
I think it might have a couple of different layers. I would say that there was some sadness and disappointment that I was experiencing. But the upside of that was the fact that I'm married to a wonderful woman, a faith-believing Christian woman who believes in the Sabbath as I do. And so that made it so much easier. We just tried to process that moment together, and we just moved forward from there.
So you went through a quite lengthy legal battle that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. What did that fight mean for you, and what did you learn from it?
Wow. I learned I learned that God is so good. He is such a faithful God. He keeps his promises. And it's been a journey that I would not trade for anything. In fact, I'm still experiencing the promises of God, his faithfulness to me, my family, to my loved ones, the opportunity to minister, to share the joy and the commandments of the Sabbath. There's so much more that I could say, but that experience, as I continue, it took up a portion of my life, obviously, and it will always be a very important aspect of my life.
So how did that experience change your view on religious freedom and what that means to you and your faith?
I don't know in terms of changing my view of religious freedom. The experience opened my eyes. And let me say this, that it's not only my experience, but many Adventists and Sabbath observers face this same situation, if not daily, weekly. Many have come before me that have been faced with the same situation. There are those that are coming in the trail behind this particular case. And then there are others around the world that face religious persecution that is severe and life-threatening. So the culmination of these events in my personal life, looking at it at a micro level globally, in the age and time that we live in, continues to evolve and develop, have a significant influence or revelation for me as I live through, as we all really live through our present current day events.
If someone has gone through this experience or is going through currently this experience, what do you tell them?
I tell them that God is good. God is great. That obedience, really, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And I have learned that God honors obedience. And that would be the main thing that I would say to them, to persevere, keep the faith, and trust in God, that he is a faithful God.
Well, Mr. Patterson, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I'm sure that your story is going to impact a lot of people. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we'll be exploring some of the challenges of expressing your faith in the workplace. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're talking today about how far an employer must go to accommodate the religious practices of its workers. And I'm glad to welcome two guests today to help us work through this topic. Dr. Brian Grimm is the founding president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation, and he's one of the world's leading experts on the relationship between religious freedom and the economy. And attorney Todd McFarlane is an associate general counsel at the Seventh-day Adventist Church World Headquarters and represented Darrell Patterson in his legal struggle. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Great to be with you, Imani.
It's great to be with you.
So, Todd, let me start with you. How common are the stories that we've just seen from Mr. Patterson?
You know, they happen every day in America, unfortunately. People of faith, and especially people of faith that are minority faiths or have minority beliefs, often find themselves having problems in the workplace. And unfortunately, what happened to Daryl, losing his job because he refused to compromise his faith, is something that's happened to, you know, hundreds of Seventh-day Adventists and others of faith throughout the country. It's an important issue, and one that happens, one that comes up way too often.
So we're going to take a quick look at this short clip about a Muslim woman recounting what happened in a job interview when she tried to request about 5 minutes prayer breaks twice a day.
I repeated myself very calmly. I thought he just simply didn't understand. But the way he was asking me, the way he said what, was also very condescending. And I said, well, because of my religion, I have to pray five times a day. And two of those prayers are going to happen within the hours of the work that you guys told me, because it was from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., I believe. And I would have at least 2 to 3 prayers that I would have to pray. So I asked him, can you guys accommodate me? And I'm willing to take a shorter lunch break. And he said, religion, we don't want that here. And then he pointed to my headscarf, and he was making all sorts of like hand movements and becoming very loud. And I was still like calm. I was just trying to explain to him the situation. And he was just like, religion, we don't want that here. We don't want these religious shenanigans here.
The employer said, religion, we don't want that here. Brian, what's going on in this clip?
Well, it's something that happens, as Todd said, often. But the story is changing when you get to the bigger companies in America. They're realizing that this type of response to employees not only hurts employee morale, but it hurts retention and it hurts the bottom line. So this company is doing something that actually, in the end, is hurting itself and not just hurting themselves, but hurting the employees as well.
So if it hurts their bottom line, why would they react in this way?
Well, I think there's two things going on. One is there's a lack of religious literacy about the law, about the importance of religious accommodation. And many companies just don't have that on their radar. The second is that they just don't understand the business case involved, that when you give an employee that 5 minutes and she's willing to give up even more than those 5 minutes, that's going to make her a devoted employee. She's going to feel energized when she comes to work. And the other thing is that when people are allowed to bring what motivates them in their heart deeply to the workplace, that creates a loyalty to the company. And I'll just give one example. Recently, the CEO of Intel changed and replaced. And when the outgoing CEO gave his farewell address, the leader of the Muslim employee resource group within Intel was listening. And he said he just cried when he heard that speech. And he said, why would I cry? You know, it's my employer. He said, well, because Intel has allowed me to bring my whole self to work, faith and all. I just love this company, and I love my Christian coworkers, our Muslim coworkers, my atheist coworkers. We're all allowed to bring that to work. And that's what this company's missing. They're missing seeing that when you allow an employee to bring their whole self to work, and as Hadi Sharifi from Intel said, bring your whole soul to work, then you have a much more committed employee. And what company wouldn't want that?
So, Todd, what kind of accommodation issues, you know, off the top of your head, exist when it comes to religious freedom and workplace rights?
So religious accommodations roughly fall into two categories. The first category is what we call groomer garb or dress and appearance. And that is, as you saw in the prior clip, she was wearing hijab. And some employers have had problems with that. There was a famous case that went to the Supreme Court called EEOC versus Abercrombie and Fitch about that issue. So that falls into one category, dress and appearance. The other category is what we call scheduling cases. And that is what her accommodation fell into. And that's where she needed some limited time off to conduct prayer or other religious rituals during the work time. The other sort of subcategory of scheduling cases is when people need a whole day off, such as, you know, observant Jews or Seventh-day Adventists or others, you know, to keep a Sabbath or other holy day. So that's roughly the two or three, depending how you want to count it, categories that fall, that people generally have in the workplace. I would say on top of that, there's also an issue where, you know, people need to be able to express themselves on an equal basis. That isn't so much an accommodation issue as it is just a straight up, you know, being treated like everyone else issue.
So if someone's experiencing a hardship like that, Todd, what's your advice to them?
You know, my first advice to them is to go to their employer and try to get the problem worked out. Make it clear to them that you're willing to do whatever you can to solve the religious problem, just as long as you don't have to violate your faith and you get to keep your job. It also is helpful to talk to organizations and the people who are familiar with this area. A lot of employees aren't familiar with what the law is. They have rights they may not know about. They also may think they have certain rights that they don't have. So it's important that they educate themselves, either by talking to individuals who are familiar with this or by, you know, doing research on their own. Though I would, you know, caution to make sure you do the right research and get the right information. But the most important thing with the employer is to go at it with a very cooperative spirit, and one that you're trying to work sort of bilaterally or cooperatively with the employer to meet the employer's legitimate expectations. They're paying you a salary. They expect you to work. That's very legitimate. You should do that and be a good employee. And then the second is, of course, you know, trying to make sure you're accommodated. I will say this, though, in my experience, and I've been doing this for close to 15 years now, the number one thing that can get you accommodated in the workplace is to be a good employee. Generally speaking, good employees are accommodated. That doesn't mean that everyone does. I mean, you heard from Daryl Patterson, and there was no complaints about his quality of work. You just happen to have a large Fortune, you know, 15 company in the form of Walgreens that just wasn't going to care about it. But generally speaking, good employees are the ones that get accommodated.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the business perspective of this issue. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. So Todd, Brian just said that providing religious accommodations is good for the soul and good for business. So why is it still so hard to gain religious accommodations in the workplace today? What's the problem here?
I think there's a couple issues going on. First of all, the companies Brian's talked about and works with are larger companies, and not just larger companies, but larger companies with highly trained, highly skilled employees that they've spent a lot of time and effort recruiting and want to keep. Religious accommodation issues fall generally or disproportionately on lower income individuals with less training, less skills, who are less paid. And those employers often simply view the employees as fungible assets, that it's easier just to replace them than it is to accommodate them. So part of it is the fact that employers just don't take their lower paid employees as seriously and just feel like it's easier to swap out an employee than it is to actually accommodate them. I think ultimately that doesn't benefit them, because even lower paid employees, there's a cost to losing them, and an employee, regardless of their salary, should be valued. But I think that's how a lot of companies view it.
So Brian, you've used the term in the past, accommodation mindset. What do you mean by that?
Well, maybe I can compare and contrast Walgreens, who we've just been talking about, with CVS Health, you know, both in the health and well-being industry. So if you go to the diversity page on Walgreens, there's a statement that says, we do not have any employee groups related to religion or politics, but they have employee groups related to sexual orientation, gender, race, veteran status. So right there is a lack of an accommodation mindset, where they're saying we specifically rule out having anything to do with religion. So I think that comes from this idea that there's two things we don't talk about, you know, religion and politics. But that's really a false dichotomy, because politics is a different issue than faith, which is an individual characteristic that people need to be able to express, and it's part of their whole self. Whereas if we look on the CVS page, we see that they have an employee group for people of faith. And more than that, CVS Health has a faith advisory council, and full disclosure, I'm on it, and they're looking for input of faith how they can deal with society, how they can deal with their customers. And that's the other part of this that Todd mentioned. You know, when employers with lower paid employees are thinking, that they might think them as more dispensable. But CVS Health has a perspective that they're there to serve the community, and they're trying to raise up employees from communities. So they work for churches to hire new staff for their stores, for their corporate offices, and they develop training in their communities. And they realize faith is such an important partner, because when you're dealing with health, like the vaccines right now, trying to get the Black community to buy into the vaccines is harder because they've been disadvantaged in previous vaccine rollouts. So they're looking to faith communities to help get that message out. So that's what accommodation is. It's realizing that you need to let that faith part, which touches not just the worker, but our customers, our employees, our communities, and let that have a part of your business. And, you know, back to Google, they realize that the products that they develop, like Google Maps, if you're searching for a church, you'll Google it and you'll find it on a map. So they realize so many of their customers are being served by their products and services. And that's where this accommodation mindset comes from, realizing that faith is a part of what our humanity is all about.
So one quick question, how do we support this shift to the accommodation mindset, especially with small business who, especially now during COVID, are pressed for work and you know, pressed for money, to be honest? How do we support this shift?
Well, I think that one of the big things is having the large corporations lead the way, because when companies like Google, Intel, Texas Instruments, Salesforce, all these companies are developing accommodation mindsets, and when they sort of put their foot in the water, other companies will follow. I think that that's a sea change we're seeing right now, and I think the smaller companies will see that this can work for them, and it works not just for the intellectual companies. Tyson Foods has chaplains across America in their factories. So it's another, that's a production-oriented company. So it doesn't have to just be for companies with intellectual products, but food products, airlines. American Airlines is really great at this in the service and moving people around business. So I think it applies to all industries, and these big companies are leading the way.
I would say, if I can also, I think it's important for small businesses to understand that this isn't about costing them money. It's about increasing their efficiency. For a large company like Google, they can lose a lot of employees and it doesn't really, perhaps affect them ultimately. But for a small company, losing a good employee can have a huge impact. So I think in many regards for the small employers, it's something they need to pay even more attention to because, of the potential impact.
So we have about a minute and a half left, so we need to wrap things up. But before we go, we like to leave our viewers with a quick takeaway from our discussion. So each of you work in the space of religious liberty and faith and accommodation. So why do you think accommodating faith at work is so vital? Go ahead, Todd. We'll start with you.
I think it's vital because, first of all, it's the law. Second of all, I think it's important for employers to treat their employees with respect and allow them to bring, and I'm going to use Brian's phrase here, their whole selves to the workplace. And employers need to understand that this isn't something that just is required. It's also a good idea. This is something that will help make their company better, will make their company more efficient, and make their employee workforce more loyal. So I think it's important for companies to understand not just the legal requirements, but the moral requirements as well.
Brian, in a few words, what's your quick takeaway?
Well, everyone can see how divided our country has become over political issues and other issues have sort of split us apart. What's going on inside of corporations that are adopting this accommodation mindset is encouraging. It's showing that people with very different worldviews can work together, produce a product, produce a service, and get along and actually love each other. Wouldn't that be great if that just spreads throughout our whole country? And that's what I think the potential is.
It's been a great conversation. And for you at home, thanks for always joining us. We want to hear from you. You can connect with us anytime. Go to hopetv.org or talk to us on Twitter at GlobalToday7. And until next time, we hope you'll keep the conversation going. Stay safe. We'll see you soon.